And we want to thank you for your kindness and your mercy and your grace towards each and every one of us. If we only knew the kindness and the mercy of God. And today, Lord, this message is truly, as crazy as this is going to come out, help us not to lose focus on the fact that this is a sermon about the kindness and the mercy of God. And we love you, Lord, and thank you and give you praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled the message today, Warning Signs. I want to draw some interesting parallels today between ancient Israel and the United States. The history of Israel in the Old Testament and the history of our nation today, amazingly, are running on two parallel tracks. And I think it's because, as far as I know, and you can certainly help me out with this if you know of something different, but in all the research I've done, the only two nations ever on the face of the earth that started as a nation and dedicated themselves as a nation from their inception and asked for the blessings of God and moved into a covenant relationship with the living God are Israel and the United States. Now, when you ask God and you start your nation that way, you invoke his blessing. Both King Solomon at the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and George Washington in 1789, when he was inaugurated as our very first president, both of them stood up, and interestingly enough, in their prayer of blessing, they begged the Lord, they invoked him, they said, Lord, we want to be a nation that follows hard after you. We want to have a covenant relationship with you. We want, therefore, as a result of being in relationship with you, to have your full blessings poured out upon our land. And both of them, Solomon and George Washington, said that, Lord, we also understand that with the privilege of having that relationship and having your blessings also comes the responsibility of following you and doing things your way. And we know that if we as a nation turn our back on you, that your blessings aren't going to continue. So that's basically what Solomon says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And here's the words of George Washington in his inaugural address being placed in as our very first president, 1789. He says, the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself hath ordained. So, did you catch that? He says, Lord, we would never expect, if we don't follow the eternal rules, if we don't follow your commands, how could we ever expect the propitious smiles of heaven? Here's an interesting fact, okay? I'm not sure that you're aware of this. I certainly wasn't until I read Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbinger. And in it, he outlines that destruction came on the same ground where each nation was dedicated to God and warned of their consequences of turning from God. So Solomon, he makes this big dedication prayer at the Temple Mount, and it was at the temple when the Assyrians came and when the destruction was just real evident. It was the temple that was destroyed. And how many of you knew that George Washington, as our first president, he gave that inaugural address at Federal Hall. He and all of the joint session of Congress, both the House of Representatives and the Senate, it wasn't a lot at that time. You know, I think there was, 13 states or something. But all of them marched down the street to a little church that is still standing today. And they prayed these prayers. They invoked these prayers of blessings in a little chapel called St. Paul's Chapel in New York City, which was our first capital city. And St. Paul's Chapel owns Ground Zero. Did you know that? Did you know that you knew this, that when Solomon prayed in the temple, and then the temple was destroyed after Israel turned their back on God, George Washington, our first president, prayed on Ground Zero, and that's where the destruction came in 2001. The first act of a newly formed government was not the passing of the law. It was this prayer of dedication in this little church. And the church owned the property where the Twin Towers once stood. Both nations were founded on the Word of God, but we both subsequently turned to the idols of greed, materialism, and prosperity. We both sank into the depths of sexual immorality, where we now call evil good and good evil. We both drove God out of our culture to the point that those who stand for righteousness today are mocked, marginalized, vilified, and persecuted. Ancient Israel sacrificed their children on the altar of Moloch, and we too have lifted up our children to death by the millions. As a result, the question that I'm asking today is simply this. I don't have any answers today. I just have questions, because I don't know. But I want you to really probe this along with me. I want you to pray about this message in your heart. I want you to come up with an answer from the Holy Spirit. And I think there are some striking parallels that are just impossible to ignore. We need to look at this, and we need to have open hearts and open minds. And so here's what I'm asking. Are we in danger of being judged as a nation? And if so, are there any warning signs that have already begun to manifest that we should be responding to? Again, I'm drawing parallels and looking into Jonathan Cahn's book called The Harbinger. The first parallel that happened was in his book called The Breach. And in his book, he tells a story, and it's an interesting way to... The book reads real easy because it's in a story form. And this man who is receiving all this information, he runs into a guy that he doesn't even know his name. He just calls him the prophet. And this prophet keeps handing him seals. Now, the very first seal that he was handed was called the breach. It's a picture of a wall that's been broken through. And the prophet goes back to the book of Kings and 732 BC, and that's where he says the Assyrian first broke through the wall in Samaria, which was the capital city of the northern tribes of Israel. It was the first time that they breached, that they were able to really put a strike on that everyone in the nation was aware of. This strike that came was limited, it was temporary. It was contained. Once again, what people need to understand is that this really is God showing His mercy. And the question asked is, did God do this? And the answer is no. Evil men did this. Men who had previously been restrained. And so, as hard as this is to get into and to wonder, you know, did God do 9/11 to us? Is that what happened? No, evil men did this to us, but they were evil men who were previously restrained from being able to attack us in that way. So that's the first parallels that were drawn, that ancient Israel had a harbinger, which is a warning. The Assyrians struck. They struck hard. They knocked down their walls. They knocked down their bricks made of clay. Their houses, they did some real damage. And the same thing happened to us on 9/11. The second harbinger or warning is a seal that this man hands to the guy that tells the story, named Noriel in the book. And it's a seal of the ancient Assyrians. The ancient Assyrians are the original terrorists. The guys who attacked Israel from Assyria were guys that they would boil you. They would cut your head off. They would skin you alive. And the biggest thing they did was psychological warfare. If you remember the story of Sennacherib, and he comes down, and it's in Isaiah. It's an interesting story. Go read it today, 36, 34, 35, 36. The chapters of Isaiah, you know, they come in and they speak in the language of the people and everybody hears it. And it's just this psychological warfare. And so everything that a terrorist does today is in some way linked back to ancient Assyria. The men who attacked us were children or disciples of the Assyrians. After the breach, Israel was drawn into conflict with Assyria. After 9/11, America was drawn into conflict with Iraq. Now, whether it's right or wrong that that's the nation we chose to go to, Iraq is ancient Assyria. That's interesting to me. I want to read for you our text this morning. Interestingly enough, right on the heels of the Christmas text, Isaiah chapter 9 is where I'm at. And verse 6, as you know, it's just right in the middle of, it's amazing how Isaiah wrote. He says that the people that were walking in darkness have seen a great light. This is verse 2. And on those living in the land, the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Okay, so he's talking about things happening right then and there. And then, right in the middle of his sentence almost, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And here's this incredible prophetic utterance that didn't happen for 700 more years. And then he goes right back to something that was happening for them in their day. And he says this in verse 8, "The Lord has sent a message against Jacob. It will fall on Israel. All the people will know it. Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say with pride and arrogance of heart." Okay, that's important, because some of our leaders are going to quote this next verse, and I'm going to let you hear them for yourself today. But they apparently, their writers, maybe somebody was a Christian and thought, you know, when 9/11 hit, that this would be an awesome verse to quote, but they didn't realize that if you take it in its original context, it's coming from a very proud and arrogant people who had a breach, who were attacked by terrorists, who said, after that happened, these next words, with pride in their hearts and arrogance and a defiant spirit, they say, verse 10, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The sycamore trees have fallen. We will replace them with cedars." Okay, now, that right there is absolutely amazing. Out of 30,000 verses in the Bible, that particular verse is the verse that has been chosen by our national leaders here in America to describe our response to 9/11. And I'll be outlining that as we go through this message. So please, just continue to listen carefully. The third warning that came end. According to Jonathan Cahn in his book, The Harbinger, the third harbinger, the third warning was the fallen bricks. There's the seal, the bricks that fell down in that first strike, that first sign of Assyrian attack. And for us in America, burned into our collective consciousness as a nation, what is it that you remember seeing that reminds you of bricks falling? Well, it's those pictures of 9/11 when the towers fell. So he's making parallels, and I'm asking questions today. I'm not telling you all this is true. I'm asking you if you think it's true. I'm asking you, do you see the parallels that happened between ancient Israel and between what's happening in our nation today? Remember, don't leave until you get this in your head. This is a message of hope today. All right? I'm going to talk a lot about judgment and what I think is coming for our nation, but I have hope. So just hold on. Don't leave me yet. The fallen bricks are the third harbinger, and now the fourth one is a tower. So he hands him a seal. The seal has on it a tower, and I don't know, these guys are trying to follow me up there. Yeah, there we go. That's it right there. The tower's on this seal. Thanks, guys. You're doing great. And the tower that what it was a representation of defiance. We will rebuild. We will come back stronger. God, this is what the ancient Israelis said, and unfortunately, this is what we are saying in our nation today. God, you are not going to humble us. We vow defiance. Our new tower being built on Ground Zero, I don't know if you've seen it. We've got pictures. I want you to see it. It's gorgeous. It's fantastic. It's big. It's bold. It's strong. And it is the greatest national symbol of defiance on American soil. Because we said we will build bigger. We will build stronger. Friends, it's not wrong to rebuild. Nothing wrong with rebuilding, but it's the spirit you do it in. And we have done it, just like ancient Israel, in a spirit of pride and arrogance, and we even chose this verse, and apparently we didn't look at the verse before it. Because Israel said with pride and arrogance in their hearts, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The sycamore trees, the fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedar. I want you to hear one of our national leaders. He is now our Secretary of State. At this time, he was a senator, Massachusetts, and here's what he said.
Commit to as a country with federal help that underscores our nation's purpose is to rebuild the towers of the World Trade Center and to show the world that we are not afraid, we are defiant.
We are not afraid. We are defiant. That's what John Kerry said. And that's the attitude with which they have rebuilt this tower. The Septuagint version, which is the first time that the Hebrew text of the Old Testament was translated into Greek, those scholars all got together and they said, and this is the way they translated Isaiah 9:10, come, let us build for ourselves a tower. Because they saw the same attitude that the people rebuilding the Tower of Babel had. And they carried that from Genesis 11, that it was the exact same context. It was the same wording. It was the same attitude. And so with pride and defiance of God, they said, come, let us build for ourselves a tower. The fifth harbinger, the fifth warning is the Gezit stone. It's a seal shaped like a mountain that looks just like a mountain that they would eventually go to hewn out stone that was stronger than the clay bricks. Okay? So the Gezit stone is in Israel, they did it, and also in America, we have now done this. We will defiantly replace our clay bricks with stronger stone. Our leaders went to a New York quarry and found a 20-ton piece of stone, and they cut out of that stone this beautiful piece of work that on July 4th, 2004, they placed it at the point of the beginning of the building of the new tower, and kind of like a cornerstone. And the New York governor, the writing on the stone is the enduring spirit of freedom, which sounds great. That's a great way to put it. But the New York governor on July 4th, 2004 said, "We lay this stone in a spirit of defiance." The sixth seal is the sycamore tree. You can see the seal. It's an actual tree shaped like the fig tree, the sycamore tree. And the sycamore trees in Israel were like part of their economy. And these sycamore trees, when the Assyrians came, they just started hacking them down. They ruthlessly went throughout the land. The land was ravaged, and it actually became a biblical sign of judgment. And it was a warning to the people of Israel. And so, you know, is there any parallel? Did that happen in America? Well, the only thing we know of that did happen like this, on Ground Zero, as the towers were falling, there was one tree, beautiful tree, that was standing between the towers and that little chapel, St. Paul's Chapel. How many of you know that all the other buildings around Ground Zero were destroyed, but there was one that was held intact? Do you know which one it was? It was that little church, St. Paul's Chapel. And how was it spared from the falling debris? There was this huge sycamore tree. And that sycamore tree fell that day, but it was destroyed, but it saved the church. Now, again, just trying to draw some parallels. Everything that happened in Isaiah 9:10 is happening in America. The bricks fell, the tower was rebuilt with stronger stone. The sycamore tree fell. And what was it replaced with? Well, in Israel, they replaced it with the cedar tree. And what was it symbolizing? The fact that you may have come against us, but we will rebuild stronger. We'll take not just clay brick, but granite stone. We'll take not just sycamore trees, which are great trees, but a stronger tree is the tree from the Erez family of trees. And they said in Israel, we will plant cedars in their place. There's actually a ceremony in Israel for this. It's called halaf, plant one tree in place of another. Why didn't they just replace the sycamore with another sycamore? The sycamore tree of Ground Zero fell. It was strong enough to shield St. Paul's Chapel and keep it from being destroyed, but the Erez tree is stronger. The cedar comes from the Erez family, and the Erez is where you get the evergreen from. And the conifer trees, the trees with needles and cones, and the very tree of Isaiah 9:10 is the tree that was picked by our national leaders. They didn't know. They weren't aware. They weren't doing it by following Isaiah 9:10. They were just... this is the tree they picked, a tree from the same family of trees as the cedar tree, and they replanted it right in the spot of the sycamore tree, and it's there today. If you ever get to go to Ground Zero, you can go, and they've had a big ceremony, and it's kind of a, right now, it's sort of a scrawny-looking tree, but it's called the Tree of Hope, and they replaced a sycamore tree on the ground of Ground Zero with a tree from the cedar family, an evergreen, a stronger tree. Jonathan Cahn says that the eighth harbinger was and the seal is an utterance. There would have to be, if this was all in God's timing and God really was behind the warnings for a nation, then there would have to be an utterance, a vow spoken by a national leader, because only a leader can speak for a nation and set the course for that nation. It happened in Samaria, and it happened in Washington, D.C. What leader would actually stand up and pronounce impending judgment on our nation? Unknowingly, because he was not aware of the context of the verse he was quoting, on September 11th, 2004, a prominent senator who was running for vice president at that time, out of 30,000 verses in the Bible, from our capital city, utters forth judgment on our nation. He has no idea. This is literally actually happening. He didn't know about the stones. He didn't know about the tree. He didn't know about the fulfillment of prophetic utterance out of Isaiah 9:10. And I want you to hear from him at this time. Here's what he said on that day.
Bricks have fallen, but we will build with dressed stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will put cedars in their place.
John Edwards, a prominent senator at the time, gets up and from our capital city utters those words. Now, the Bible says that you need two or three witnesses if something's really going to happen. So the ninth warning is the prophecy, and you can see the seal. And most of us missed this. On the day after 9/11, 2001, speaking to a joint session of Congress as a matter of national record and speaking to the nation in response to the breach that had happened, the Senate Majority Leader at the time, Tom Daschle, stands up and he says, And he gives, this is America's official response to what happened the day before. Okay, joint sessions of Congress, Senate Majority Leader, he stands up in the Capitol and gives the response and says, this is what we will do. And here's his response.
Bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars.
Okay. America, what these guys are saying without knowing it, they're saying America will follow the same path of ancient Israel towards national judgment. Biblical, it's very biblical to establish things by two or three witnesses. The third witness, on February 24, 2009, in the most important speech of his early presidency, our current president said these words, "I know that for many Americans watching right now, the state of our economy is a concern that rises above all others." This was right after the collapse of 08. "But while our economy may be weakened and our confidence shaken, though we are living through difficult and uncertain times, tonight I want every American to know this." Isaiah 9, verse 9, "All the people will know this." this stuff's amazing to me. I know you guys think I'm crazy, but this stuff is amazing to me. "I want every American to know this. We will rebuild. We will rebuild." So the next day, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, Al Jazeera, Associated Press, and the New York Times headlines, out of all the words spoken in President Obama's speech, all of the headlines were three words: "We will rebuild." Three words out of Isaiah 9:10. Now, If a nation does not heed the warning and show signs of repentance, the steps they take will lead them towards another calamity. What the nation truly places their trust in will be exposed. The guys that started Wall Street and the New York Stock Exchange met under a sycamore tree, a button willow tree. And basically, our trust was in our economy. And that tree was knocked down. Now, here's something really interesting. Just stay with me on this, if you will. Shemitah is in the Bible, like, it stands for seven. So if you read Deuteronomy 15, every 7 years, there's a release and canceling of debts. At the end of the year, is a day named Elul 29. It's their New Year's Eve. It's Elul 29, September 17th, 2001, and September 29, 2008 are the two actual days of the greatest economic collapse in American history. In fact, on that day, September 29th, 2008, the bell on Wall Street wouldn't ring. And they took that as a bad sign, and they should have, because that was the day of the greatest collapse. But both of these days are the exact same day on the Jewish calendar, Elul 29, the biblical day of Shemitah. Again, Shemitah means Sabbath or seven. On the day of America's greatest stock market crash ever, 7% of the market was lost, 777 points were lost in the stock market that day, and it was all a result of a $700 billion bailout. Only the hand of God could have orchestrated all of that. Just think of the orchestrating of the calamities, returning to the same ground where the nations were dedicated to God and warned of the consequences of turning from God. It was so like Israel, and today it is so American to desire the blessings of God in our lives without the desire to serve Him or to continue in covenant relationship with Him. I have said all I've said today to say this. The point of a harbinger or a warning is not to condemn America to judgment, but to wake her up and keep us from judgment. Our merciful Father in heaven is giving us multiple chances to return to Him as a nation. We could have been like any other nation, but we chose from our inception to exist for the purposes of God. So if we invoke the privilege of His blessings, and let's face it, we've been blessed beyond measure in this land of ours, then we must also connect with the responsibility of obeying our Father's desires for us, which come to us by way of certain commands. Friends, God is calling us to return to Him. If you just think that I'm full of it today and none of this makes, you know, I'm just grasping for stuff, and it's not really true. God's not really behind this. God's not really sent any warnings our way. And we're just going to keep going the way we've gone. Oh, it's just certain things that happen. Yeah, it sounds kind of coincidental, but I don't think God's behind it at all. Listen, if you don't even believe all of that, that's fine. But believe this, God is calling us to return to Him. If we choose not to, what lies ahead for us? What is the future of America? And I'm here to tell you today, it's completely up to us. We will either have judgment or we will have revival. What would judgment look like? It would look like the collapse of our infrastructure, either militarily or economically. It would look like natural disasters coming to wipe us out. It would look like further terrorism. Without revival, we cannot continue under God's blessings. But here is our hope. This really is intended to be a message of hope today. What's the point of warnings if we weren't being given the opportunity to change? It's like an alarm clock going off. Are you going to just ignore the alarm clock? Is that what we're going to do in this land? It's more than likely that seems to be the response so far. The response of not repenting, not asking God for forgiveness for the fact that we've turned our back on Him in our nation. No, we bowed our neck, just like ancient Israel. We came out in defiance, in pride, in arrogance. We'll build stronger. You can't do that to us. We'll show you. We'll come back stronger than ever before. Look, The hope for our nation, if it's ever going to happen, if we're ever going to have revival, where is it going to start? It's going to start with us, the people of God. Revival will begin with the people of God. As the darkness gets darker, as the darkness gets darker, what happens for light? More opportunity for light to shine. Arise and shine. Your light has come, Isaiah 60 says. If there was ever a time to shine our light, that time is now. So we can either start building bomb shelters and stockpiling food, because if we don't repent, I believe we are way down the road. This is just my personal belief. After studying all of this and looking into it and praying over it and just weeping over this, I have come to the conclusion, I believe we are way down the road headed for national judgment. And if judgment is coming to us, then what's going to be our response to it? Is there still time to avert the judgment that's coming on this land? I believe there's still time. I believe that's why we're getting all the warning signs. I believe that as the people of God, if we will take God seriously and take Him at His word and look at all of this and say, Lord, thank You for being so merciful towards us and giving us warning so that we'll wake up, so that we'll repent, so that revival can return to this land. And that's the way I'm choosing to look at it. Look, I'm not going to go out like those people up in Montana years ago, I think for the year 2000, and got all crazy on Y2K and decided to build some bomb shelters, and the night came and they all went down in there, about 200 people, and they lasted only 2 hours because they forgot to put bathrooms in. I'm not going to be that guy. We're not going to build bomb shelters on this property because I don't want to try to put the bathrooms in down under there. And we're not going to stockpile our food. What are we going to do? I don't know what you're going to do, but here's what I'm going to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to run for safety. If judgment is coming, I want to be safe. And in the Bible, it's in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for safety is Yeshua. And Yeshua, translated into English, is Jesus. And who says to us today, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. The time is late, ladies and gentlemen, but the clarion call from God to Solomon and all the people at the dedication of the temple is still the call that we must heed today, because you can read it right in there. Here's their prayer of dedication, and then God shows up so strong and the people couldn't even stand up in the temple. Everybody was on their faces before the living God because God showed up. And when His presence showed up, everyone was just blown away by His presence. And God spoke to the people that day. And He said to the people who had previously, through Solomon in the prayer, said, now, Lord, when we turn our backs on You, not if, when we turn our backs on You and when we're taken into captivity, hear our prayers as we pray them to You. Hear our prayer as we repent and we come back to You. And here's the Lord's response, the great verse you all know. If My people, who are called by My name, let's all stand up right now and say this with me. If My people, called by My name, will humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will what? Heal their land. Why do you think He said He would heal their land? Why didn't He just say, I'll heal you? Why didn't He just say, I'll be your God? He said, I'll heal your land because the land of Israel needed healing. And I think today, in great parallel, we need healing in our land. And we, the people of God, are the ones that need to humble ourselves and repent. So, all I can can tell you is this. That's going to be my response. I believe that we are being warned. I believe we're on the pathway towards further judgment if we don't stop right now. Now, I don't have a national voice. I just have this little local voice. But with the voice I have, I'm going to call the church to repentance. I'm going to call you to repentance. I'm going to repent myself. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to get on my face before the living God. I'm going to cry out to Him, and I'm going to say, Lord, please forgive me for all the ways I've just been sucked into the mold of the culture. Forgive me for all the ways, Lord, that I've turned my back on you. God, I just publicly today, I want to stand here. I'm just one little voice. I don't have a national voice. But I just have this voice right here to say, I'm calling the church to repentance. We are your people. We are called by your name. And we humble ourselves here today, Lord. We humble ourselves. And we pray. And we seek your face. And we turn from our wicked ways. And oh God, on a daily basis, may we all live in a perpetual state of repentance. Forgive us, Father. We have sinned greatly against you. Forgive us, Father, for all the idols we've allowed that are so prevalent in our land. Forgive us, Father, for all the ways we've followed the footsteps of ancient Israel. And make no mistake about it, judgment came for them. And Lord, I see judgment looming on our horizon. Unless we repent, God, hear our cry today. From this little location, Las Vegas, Nevada, this church, Lord, I hope and pray that this isn't a yawner. I hope and pray that this isn't just something that people are going to say, oh, wasn't Pastor crazy today. But I hope and pray that the end result of this message will be that every one of us will search our own hearts. Revival can only start with me, for me, and you, for you. But if we all do it together, who knows but what God might give us another great awakening and a great outpouring of His Spirit that will absolutely cause this entire nation to wake up, to hear the alarm clock, to hear the warnings, and to heed those warnings. Father, we ask that you will do this in the powerful, holy, righteous name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Friends, our time is up. You're dismissed, but if you would like to join me, I'm going to spend a few moments on my knees here in these altars. I love you. God bless.